tape recording from Pablo to Luigi, April 3, 1992. Ray, you're March 31, 1992, on Factors and Taxa. I'm sending the message this way because Paula Clayton, MD, throwing me out of psychiatry. I think I wrote you that she managed to drive out 14 faculty members, including some world-renowned ones like Heston and Licken and Neal. Her main aim is to reduce the IQ level of the psychiatry department, so at least be below hers, and she has pretty much accomplished that. I can't rely on anything quick in the Elliott Hall. It's not that they're not nice to me over there, they're very sweet, but it's the difference between sharing a secretary with one other person, namely D.T. Licken, as I did in psychiatry research, and sharing it with the whole faculty and the people having other demands than research typing or word processing. You certainly know how to deliver pellets of reinforcement. My wife brings in your letter and says, "Have you been good today?" Well, then here's a reinforcement. Responses like that from people like Goldberg and Faust and Licken and Telligan mean a lot more, of course, than what the profession thinks. Although I'll be honest and confess that I sent in a letter to the editor who invited this paper that I expected it to become a minor classic like Cronbach and Neal, although not during my lifetime. I don't know that I can answer your questions, mainly because they're the same as mine, as I'm sure you discerned in the article. Mine aren't perhaps quite as strong. For instance, you don't like the fact that self-monitoring might be a taxon, and I was suspicious of it also and remain suspicious, but if one considers the various causal paths that can give rise to statistical structure that's taxonic, it isn't so absurd. Any more than Trotskyism is. Furthermore, in the case of self-monitoring, Gangestad, the last time he talked to me, and he hasn't been back in Minneapolis for a couple of years, was working on a specific genetic conjecture involving a major gene, in which he claimed he showed, at least in a pilot study, was very highly related to an anatomical measure on the pelvis, which sounds pretty goofy. But I think we have to be careful not to rule things out. Speaking non-taxonically, even in terms of dimensions, if anybody had told me that religious conservatism or a liking for blood sports would show high heritability, as it clearly does in the both in the MZ separated studies of Bouchard and company, but in the much larger sample of Licken and Telligan, where they were not separated. So I think one should be careful not to exclude anything. I agree that you can put low priors on some things, as I did and still do on self-monitoring, but I think we have to be open-minded, especially given what I said in my first paragraph of that paper, that you, like me, and all of us, were pretty well brainwashed by American psychologists to think that everything except mentalizing feeble-mindedness was dimensional. despite the Minnesota genetic emphasis that existed even when I was an undergraduate, as regards intelligence and mental illness, I certainly was given the impression, until I went to work for Stark Hathaway on the other side of the campus, that manic depression or schizophrenia or psychopathic personality were just like IQ and introversion. They're just farther out on the continuum. Hathaway told me, no, Pat is right about most things, but on mental disorders, he's wrong. The big ones, like depression and schizophrenia and the solid gold Cleckley Lincoln psychopath, are true types. I think that the big difficulty is that we have more than one kind of causal path, not just causal influence, but type of causal path, which can lead to the formal structure I call Neal taxonic. And of course, if a person says, well, if it's that heterogeneous as to its origin, then PM taxonicity, while it may be introducible in a formal way, is simply not very interesting to me. That seems to be working okay. Well, it's a free country, and it seems to be high-handed if I were to tell people that, you know, you really ought to be interested in this. I have four kinds of importance listed at the end, and a psychometrician building a scale seems to be, I can twist his arm and say, you should find out whether you think schizophrenia or schizotypy is simply the high end of introversion or some damn thing, or do you think that it's a taxon, because whatever your causal views about it may be, if you're making a test like a multiphasic scale, the desirable psychometric properties of the items will be different, depending on whether your aim is to sort into categories or to locate on dimensions. I don't think I need to convince you of that as a psychometric point. Now, at the latent level, I can't get past the formalism. So you're really asking me to do what Lincoln wants me to do. I'd love to do that. But as I said, I've thought about it for 25 years, and I've talked to some plenty bright people about it, and nobody has come up with one that will wash. And so when, say, 10 smart people think about something off and on for 25 years, and they're also people who have both mathematical competence and clinical experience, I don't think it's absurd for me to say, well, until further notice, I'm not going to think about this anymore because I have grave doubts that it can be done. And you'll note there's an italicized sentence in there saying no meta-proof has ever been offered by Lincoln or by anybody else that it is doable. I think one has to take the same attitude here that we do to factors in factor analysis. Some factors presumably don't represent anything than the mathematical point that there's a certain densification on the hypersphere, and that even if you don't start with the unrotated thing, even if you rotate by one of the several methods, you are still going to be sticking reference vectors through regions of high densification. And that's inherent in the procedure. Now, somebody comes to me, Will Grove, my brightest student I ever had in 45 years, by the way, and I've had 45 PhDs. He says, I don't believe that factors have any physical reality at all. They're all like things like SES, or the Consumer Price Index. Whereas Lincoln and Telligan think, well, some factors do, but you have to do something besides just rotate axes You have to be clever about item composition and reflection, or thinking about what you're doing, and finding various external correlates before you're going to buy in on it. As I mentioned in, I think I mentioned in the paper, but if not, in my Canadian paper on four queries on factor, what factors are, it could be that the heritable component of G, identified psychometrically, is literally the number of polygenes of the bright kind. I don't exclude that possibility. And then we could push it at the next level down, on the other hand, and we find qualitative heterogeneity lying behind that, that the heritable component of G comes about by virtue of having more twigs on your dendrites, having more collaterals, having a different densification of end buttons over the synaptic scale, and above all, having totally more neurons. I'll just bet you if we ever get adequate data from studies of brains, we'll find that the professors at MIT actually have more neurons per a cubic centimeter than the janitor does. That's my prediction. The biggest way in which the Cray computer differs from an ordinary one, and that differs from desk calculator, is of course the sheer number of elements, and I assume that's true of the brain as well. Well, that's not on taxa. What I mean is that, corresponding to the fact that we don't know what is the physical character of factors that are identified, even by a careful, clever factor analyst, from a bunch of verbal items in ability or in personality, so we don't know what kind of reality to ascribe to them. It seems to me, in the same way, the formal mathematical specification of a taxonic statistical structure leaves wide open how such a thing could come to pass in the mind. And when you are offended by environmental mold taxa, so was I 5 years ago, even. But I'm not anymore. I just take the case of Dictionary of Occupational Titles and think of all those attitudes, skills, and items of information which make a CPA a taxon, and brain surgeon a taxon, and strip teaser, which is listed in there, as I recall, a taxon. And the math can't tell them apart. The math can't tell them apart. It would be as if somebody said, look, we got this thing you call a Jacobian that the physicists use, and there's a matrix which is the determinant of a matrix which has a bunch of partial derivatives. That's all peachy keen. Tell me, and what does that tell me about physical reality? I mean, is it particles or waves or what kind of stuff? And of course, the mathematician will say, well, you have to ask the physicist about that. I don't know what the hell he's talking about, but I'm telling you that there is such a thing as evaluating a determinant whose elements are partial derivatives. And why somebody might want to do that, who knows? Now, as to, I'm troubled by your use of the term imperfect taxa. That's the only place where I have a suspicion. You say you've read it five times, but you may not fully understand my point, or maybe you think the point is unsound. Once we recognize that taxonicity latently, however caused, different paths, is reflected in overlapping distributions on fallible indicators, then the term imperfect taxa doesn't mean what it might initially mean. I don't know what you mean when you say sex is an imperfect taxon, unless you're referring to the rare case of hermaphrodites or something, and if we press it, we get back to the karyotype. A perfect taxon, if a perfect taxon meant that there were no individuals who have a set of scores that puts them, when sorted optimally by Bayes' theorem, into the, quote, wrong group. Namely, once in a while we get somebody with an XY karyotype that is so super feminine that we're just astounded to discover it. This does not make the taxon as a concept imperfect in my way of thinking. Taxa are all imperfect in a statistical sense, unless there are some rare cases in which properties A, B, C, D, E, F are perfectly correlated pairwise in the mixed population. That may be true of the goofy taxon of a big forest fire. I get the impression that the half dozen or so characteristics they list for a big forest fire are all found together all of the time. That is, there isn't any forest fire that has one of these properties that doesn't have the other half dozen. Even for organic disease, one speaks of pathognomonic signs. They're hard to come by, as you know. And the thing is, you wouldn't even bother to have a label called pathognomonic signs if you didn't know that, by and large, most signs and symptoms are non-pathognomonic. I mean, if every symptom was perfectly correlated with the, in this case, the latent pathology and etiology of a disease, then we would only need to have one symptom per each, because we'd always know we could predict the other K-1 symptoms. I agree, of course, that we can distinguish between various kinds of taxa on a continuum from those that are perfectly separated through higher and higher degrees of overlap. As to whether the chemical elements are perfectly separated, I guess, they're perfectly separated only if you take all the properties, right? I mean, if you look at only one, like atomic weight, you'll screw up, which was the problem with Prout's hypothesis. If one had the notion that there was always a dichotomous property A, even if it was a disjunction or conjunction of properties, a dichotomous property A that is not defined by making a cut on an indicator, the obvious example being having the Huntington gene. If there's a dichotomous property A, then you might say genuine taxa are categories in which there is an intrinsically dichotomous property A, not one formed by a cutting score, and all of the A's, if you take the A's as a group, you will, and distribute a set of indicators X, Y, Z, W, and you take the not A's as a group and distribute the indicators X, Y, Z, W, then you will find PM taxonicity, meal taxonicity, that the integral of F of X1 exceeds the integral of F of X2 when you integrate from minus infinity to a cut. And the same is true of XYZW. All right. That means that these two distributions, however slightly, are separated throughout. Their means and medians are going to be different. I guess that doesn't prove their modes have to be. In my analysis, the mode is taken, the modes are taken as being different. that's the most general I can conceive of. There is some attribute A which is either intrinsically dichotomous or, pushing it as in my third case of strong etiology, a factor of which the others are step functions. So there's a cutting score locatable in a non-arbitrary manner. That's another way to look at it. But if that troubles you, I'll just say a property A, which is an inherently categorical or predicate type property rather than a functor in the logician sense. If you distribute the people that have A, distribute it to people who don't have A on variable X, distributions will overlap, but they'll be distinguishable statistically. The same is true of Y, and the same is true of Z, and the same is true of W. And one can show that if that's the case, then you'll get a certain curved shape when you use Neil's methods. In a sample of one half taxon members and one half non-taxon members, none of the distributions of valid indicators can be Gaussian. Well, it could be in the crazy case where each indicator is cut, say, at some point like the median, and the people in the taxon are half Gaussian above and half Gaussian below. But we would never countenance that as an acceptable alternative because it's too improbable. It's mathematically possible, but empirically would never happen. As to bipolarity, I haven't thought enough about that. I haven't tried to analogize this to the distinction between a unipolar and a bipolar factor. I'll confess to you that I have never really been clear about what that means in factor analysis. If you think you are clear, I would really appreciate a letter explaining it. I have never fully grasped what it means mathematically or physically to say that introversion, extroversion is bipolar, or to deny that and say no, extroversion is merely an extreme absence of introversion. Maybe I'm dumb about that. I've listened to people try to explain it, like Telegin and Licken, but I've never grasped the idea. I should have cited Altmaier. I have read one of the two. I assume it's probably the first one. So I haven't read the 1988 one. I don't know whether I think right-wing authoritarianism is a taxon statistically or not, but as you were apparently inferring, my guess is that it would be. There's a problem which I did not discuss. I meant to. I just forgot it. What do we do with... How do we think of the case in which the manifest distribution on a single indicator is strongly suggestive of latent taxonicity, and in one of my methods, which I don't go into, and done more elegantly by Everett and somebody, those Englishmen or Canadians, is it? One concludes with plausibility that there's a latent taxon, but he has only one indicator, let's say IQ, and in which, furthermore, his causal conjecture, perhaps well corroborated even, is a bunch of polygenes as the heritable component, and then a bunch of environmental influences piled on top of that. And then he says, besides this, we have a latent cause of mental deficiency at the low end. And as you probably know, or well, maybe you don't, I've run into some psychologists who are not familiar with this, that old Cyril Burt published two or three papers with some pretty highfalutin mathematical analysis using Pearson's curve types, in which he claimed to prove that just as we have mental deficiencies at the low end of the IQ distribution that appear as a tail rather than a lump, because there aren't enough of them to make a lump, at the high end, the super brights, he concluded, probably have one or two major genes involved. I have been so struck with what I consider the qualitative difference between super brights that I've known, and just very competent, bright people, that I do not even preclude that super brightness is merely the high end. There's a big mess here because of the fact that there's a fairly clear-cut meaning of phenotypic clumping that the cluster analysts rely on, and that Hathaway and I discovered when we looked at those code types that are discussed. When you get a difference of an order of magnitude between two two-digit code type frequencies, you got something. And I don't, cluster analysis doesn't work very well. The methods don't even agree with each other. Without getting into latent causes, there is a fairly clear-cut meaning that if we had this hyperspace of k dimensions, and then we look at the densification of points, people, in that space, and we find that they thin out going down here on this one vector, and then there's a densification up there, that's at least prima facie evidence of something taxonic. And if a person was a super operational type and didn't want to ever get into talking about latent factors that are, quote, real, he could confine himself to simply saying, here is a taxon. Look at it. Look at all those people swarming together up there. And then there's this, the thing gets thinned out, and then it starts thickening again. We have a saddle point here in the surface. If I think of something like the psychopath, the true solid gold Cleckley Lickham PD that gives you a multiphasic 4-9 double prime and nothing else elevated. And I think to myself, well, these people have a defective anxiety parameter. They also have a defective superego, which may or may not be due to the former. Plausibly would, but not necessarily. You get some anxious people with poor consciences, for instance, as Maurer pointed out about some neurotics. And then we have, to get the psychopath that gets into trouble anyway, maybe we need such a thing as Sheldon considered in mesomorphic toughness. Well, the need for excitement, tendency to get bored, is that different from these? Suppose it isn't. Suppose there's a boredom component or need for excitement thing that's different from anxiety conditionability, and that's in turn different from superego weakness, and that's in turn different from mesomorphic toughness. And now suppose that all four of these things are, make it easy, heavily hereditary, and each of them is polygenic. Nevertheless, to get the syndrome of the multiphasic PD type, maybe you need to have above a certain threshold value of all of them. Maybe there's some change in the derivative of the probability function there for each of these. And if it occurs at roughly the same place, we could get a swarming, a densification in the four space of people who we consider to be psychopaths as a syndrome, and which would emerge maybe as a taxon using my methods. And yet, nevertheless, what is this taxon but a composite of extremes on four continuous variables? I think that's both a causal and a statistical mess, and I don't claim to have thought it through. Well, I think that's all I have to say for now. And if you want to respond, fine, especially if you could explain to me about bipolarity and tell me whether I've answered your particular points. I do not like the existence of environmental mold taxa. I wish there were no such things. But there's more of them than anything else except insects. Consider DOT. And that's a statistical point. And I don't want these statistics to hinge upon a particular kind of requirement as to the sources of taxonicity. I am convinced that any plausible formal specification of taxonicity is going to be reachable by diverse kinds of causal structures. If motivated by the desire to exclude environmental mold taxa, we whittled down the formalism in some way that I can't even conceive,
but made it less general to keep that case out, then I will practically guarantee you that we will keep out cases that we want to consider taxonic, even by a rather tough causal or conceptual standard. On listening to this before sending, I find an error when I talked about XYZW. I hope that didn't mix you up. What I mean to say is A's and B's differ in the integral of X from minus infinity to some any cut on X, and the same is true of the integrals F of Y and G of Y, and F of Z and G of Z, and F of W and G of W, where F is the taxon and G is the complement class. So we got a whole bunch of pairs of distributions on each of the indicators, and one is always running ahead of the other. If that's the case, with a million cases, you will get taxonicity by my methods like Max Cove and Mambach and a couple of the others. Whereas if that's not the case, if we have a factor underlying, even if it's not normally distributed, you will not get taxonicity using my methods. Okay, that's it, Lou. End of cassette.